It's the Morning News Express on Free Talk 930 WFMD. 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD. That's the number you need to call if you want to be part of the program. 301-694-9363. 301-694-WFMD. Well, we're waiting our call from the young lady. I'm trying to, I don't know if I made sure I gave her the number, but I'm trying to look it up, and I'm having a real hard time with what I'm doing. Maybe that's it right there. Good morning, WFMD. You're live on the air. Who's this, please?
Hi, Bob. It's Sarah Steinberg. How are you?
I'm good, Sarah. I was having a, I was trying to, I'm like going, did I give you the number to call when
yeah.
we were chatting? And I'm yes. like, maybe I forgot it. So I was trying to send you a message, and Facebook was just not letting me do anything. So I'm glad.
Sorry about that.
It's not your fault. I'm glad you called, and I appreciate it. And you are a, according to an article in the paper, you're a mother of four Frederick County Public School students, correct?
Yes. I actually have five kids, four who are in FCPS and one who would normally be in FCPS, but I pulled him for homeschool. So okay. he should be in first grade, but okay. I homeschool him.
Is that a decision when you, I mean, I don't want to pry, but is that a decision after you saw what was going on in FCPS that you decided, or are there other extenuating circumstances you just wanted to keep him home?
We made it exactly 2 weeks
oh, really?
into virtual learning. And I learned this was not going to work for my little guy. He's just not that kind of kid who can sit in front of a computer screen, mm-hmm. but very, very smart and intelligent. And I was like, I can do more than this. I can teach him. Nothing against the teachers. The teachers were doing a wonderful job, and I really applauded them for all their efforts. But I just knew my son, I didn't want him to develop this hatred of learning and school so young, and I don't want him to always think of it as this negative thing. So I just decided to pull him and do it myself, and it's been going great.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about you're doing a log-out protest that is scheduled to take place, I guess, today, correct?
Yes.
What?
My whole house is still sleeping.
So what are your frustrations with the Frederick County Board of Education over the last couple of weeks? I mean, why do this protest?
Well, one of the reasons we're doing the protest is just as simple as we want to be heard. We feel like we're writing emails to the Board of Education members like every week. Sometimes I write pretty much daily email. And I don't always hear back from them. And when I do, it's kind of the same thing. It's a very cut and paste email. Basically tells me all the stuff I already knew. When I ask them direct questions, they don't give me answers. And we're just trying to make a point that, you know, we're frustrated and we want to be heard. You know, and sometimes in history, you have to protest to get yourself heard. So we're hoping that they will see that we are frustrated. We are logging out and, you know, we want to be heard and we want there to be called an emergency meeting. And we want you guys to be working on this nonstop during worker hours to get a plan in place to get us back to school.
Yeah.
And also, there's like in some school districts, there's some 40% of kids in our, you know, underprivileged communities that aren't even logging on daily. So we're kind of standing with them. Like, what about these kids? They've been on forgotten. Like, no, nobody's talking about these kids who are just not logging on daily, and it's becoming a higher and higher number. So kind of standing with them as well.
Do you feel that the education that you're the children that you're not homeschooling that are on the virtual learning are getting the education that they would be getting if they were at school?
Definitely not. Again, I applaud the teachers. They're doing a wonderful job. They're doing the best job they can do in the circumstances, but definitely not. I mean, my kids who've gone from being straight A students or all AB students, like now are always behind. They always have, you know, assignments. I was just mentioning online yesterday that I went on to Schoology yesterday after the weekend. I had checked on Friday, but after the weekend I went on Schoology and my fifth grade daughter had like 18 assignments that were past due. And she's going to her meetings every day, but she's not getting it done because she gets overwhelmed. And then this thing comes, and it's a very frustrating thing for her. She could barely sit at her meetings and listen. She just doesn't grasp the concept. She's a very visual kid.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a very communicative kid that, you know, needs the teacher to kind of take that extra step. And there are help after school, but she just doesn't want to do more virtual time. She doesn't want to be on that screen another hour to do tutoring time. I also have a daughter in seventh grade who's all honors class. She's a highly able learner, which is a program in Frederick called HOUSE. And she is 100% every single class. Some people are like, oh, that means virtual school is working great for her. No, she's teaching herself. Mm-hmm. She's watching YouTube. She's watching Khan Academy. And she's teaching herself the material to answer the questions. But she's not even really attending the meeting. She just puts it on the background, does her work. It's not challenging at all for her. And are we giving these kids who are highly able learners enough material to really challenge them intellectually? Is she getting enough that when we do go back to school, is she going to know everything she needs to know, or are they going to have to keep catching up instead of letting her advance? So I really think we're also setting back our kids that are able to go further in their academics.
So let me ask you, do you believe that your kids would be safe going back to school? Because that's what we're hearing, is that, number one, there's teachers who feel that they shouldn't be in the classroom because of COVID-19 and that they don't want to put kids, because let's be honest, maybe not you, but somebody else who's going to have their child go to school and get COVID-19 is going to sue the school system. So do you believe that the safety protocols are in place or not in place, and you would have no problem sending your kids back to school?
I want there to be safety protocols. There needs to be safety protocols, just like anything else that we do in life. When we go to the grocery store, when we go to Walmart, Home Depot, any of those places, I know it's not exactly the same environment, but we have these safety protocols. And as long as we're all following them, I think the children are more than able to do it. I coach competitive cheer where we not wear masks for 2 to 4 hours sometimes, and the kids wear the mask. They cooperate. We have safety protocols. So I think that we can have those safety protocols. For me personally and my husband, we're okay to send our kids back, because we know that's very unlikely that they're going to die from COVID because of statistics. And, you know, we've actually already dealt with COVID. My husband had COVID. None of us got COVID.
Okay.
You know, and that's even without there being safety protocol. So I'm not downplaying it, but I'm just saying the kids are very unlikely to get it. And I've experienced that firsthand. And it is a risk, but it's a risk that I'm willing to take, because we can't hide from this virus forever, just like we can't hide. Kids are very unlikely to get it. And I've experienced that firsthand. And it is a risk, but it's a risk that I'm willing to take, because we can't hide from this virus forever, just like we can't hide from any other virus, the flu. So it's just something that I'm willing to deal with if and when that happens. But I don't think that we cannot reopen schools based on what ifs. Because we can say, what if everybody gets COVID? Well, we can also say, what if nobody gets COVID?
Right. All right. So tell me
that life is full of risk, and we need to, you know, sometimes we have to take it.
Tell me the particulars for today for the logout protest, and how's that going to work today?
So it's really simple. The virtual protest, the logout protest, all the kids just don't log in. So we're hoping that the parents will send in their attendance notes to excuse their kids for absence. I did that yesterday. I heard back from all three of my kids' schools, elementary, middle, and high school. They're all excused for the day because I used one of our allotted FCPS vacation days. Mm-hmm. All the excuse notes also said that my kids can make up their work tomorrow or at any point this week. So they're excused. They'll be able to make up their work, but they will go in the attendance book as absent. So hopefully the BOE will see that. So that's how this protest works. You simply just don't log into your meetings, and you don't log into your Schoology, and your kids get a little break today. Probably one that they actually need.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd love to know what the numbers are, but it's going to be awfully hard to track that, because I'm sure they're not going to let you know it.
Yes. I did talk to the superintendent, and I asked her if she could get me those numbers, and she said she would. So we'll see.
We'll see if she gives them to you.
I asked her a lot of statistics, like how many kids are logging in every day, how many kids are not logging in, you know, how many kids are getting, you know, there's a farm program, the free and reduced lunch program. how many kids are getting that? Is that really accessible to everybody in the county, or some kids going hungry on this too? So I asked her a lot of questions, so stay tuned. I will be posting that to see, but I really think that our underprivileged children are really suffering here and nobody's talking about it. I've talked to the sheriff. I've talked to lots of people who are saying they are seeing increases in things like suicide, and it might not be amongst the children, but amongst families, which affects in the return, affects children.
Yeah. Sarah, we're out of time. I appreciate it. Let us know what happens, and if we can get some numbers from you, that'd be great. I appreciate your time. I think we lost her. All right, it's the Morning News Express.
This is 930 WFMD and WFMD.com. Now, WFMD News.
Damage from a garage fire in Boonesboro over the weekend totals more than $100,000. Authorities say 55 firefighters were sent shortly after 9:30 a.m. to the 21,000 block of Mount Lena Road for a detached garage on fire. They spent 20 minutes bringing the flames under control. Fire officials say the blaze started in the interior.